You know how he is. He's very like, he wants to hug you. He wants to lovely. Be, yeah, he wants to be up in your space. And I'm like, I took my laptop and I put it on him while he's on me to finish a task. And he's like, you're not paying attention to me right now.
What's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline.
This is the Cathartic Experience. Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Welcome back. So on today's episode, episode number 10, we will be talking about love languages. But of course, first of all, how are you?
I'm okay. A lot of things to do within the practice. So a lot of moving pieces. And yeah, so the focus is coming back on time and how it seems like some days there's like a lack of time. How are you doing?
Same. I feel like the roughest part about making your own schedule is that it's almost like you have to choose your boundaries. And I'm not good at choosing my boundaries. Like, if I could work almost every single day, almost every hour of the day, I'm gonna do it. Not because I'm a workaholic, more so
maybe
because
I'm like, a little bit you're a workaholic.
But I'm just sitting there like, it's COVID. What else am I gonna do?
Right, you can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing. Especially with this new wave of lockdown for 28 days. Ain't nobody going nowhere doing nothing.
So that's why I sit there and I'm like, why not make money?
Right.
Like, what else am I gonna do? Watch a Netflix series from beginning to end and get absolutely nothing?
I've done that. It doesn't fulfill you, especially when the plot ain't all that.
Anyway. So in terms of love languages, where do you want to start today with that?
I guess we can talk about the founder, the different love languages that he came up with. His name is Gary Chapman. He's an author, speaker, he's a counselor, and a pastor.
Okay. Get that back, sis.
Sir. And the different love languages that he came up with are words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and receiving gifts, right?
So I have you taken the quiz?
I've taken the quiz multiple times.
Let's say multiple times. My top two have always been words of affirmation and gifts.
Really?
Yeah. Why is that surprising?
I would think that it would be something else. I would think that I thought it was acts of service like me and words of affirmation.
No.
Which one? Yours is words of affirmation and receiving gifts? Okay.
So, I think every time I do this quiz, and I understand that we all have five of them, it's just different levels of them. When you're someone who's a bit more dismissive, avoidant, like you don't rely and depend on people like that, I don't actively seek these things out. Like, it's so strange. Because I feel like my love language is my partner having their shit together. If that was the love language,
you would check that box.
I would check that goddamn box. Because the thing is, for me, I've never felt like I've needed something from somebody.
Okay.
I just needed them to show up in a way that was, you know, respectful. You don't need to praise me. I don't need you to tell me how special, how important I am. But don't do things that make me feel like I'm not important.
But if you were to have love languages, it would be words of affirmation and receiving gifts. But your love language is different from that. It's like having someone who can carry themselves independently from you. Like someone who is adding.
Right.
Okay.
And in my love language, I feel like it's creativity. Someone who could think outside of the box. Someone who wants to live. Because you could give me the gifts. You could say the right things. And I'm still not, I don't feel loved or impressed.
Right.
So I feel like it's a very good way to conceptualize what we need in our relationships. Because it puts, you know, the word to the need and it makes it easier to communicate. But I would say that these five it doesn't truly encapsulate for me specifically what I need in a relationship, if that makes sense.
When I took the quiz, mine was, my main one was acts of service. And then came everything else, like after it's quality time, and then it trickles down. And I think that, similarly to you, I think that if I had to put a name on it, it's that. But I think it's like adaptability, like someone who's able to adapt to the different curve, you know, the different curveballs that like life throws at you.
Right.
Instead of someone who's like rigid in the moment, because it's like we don't have, sometimes we don't have 30 minutes to sit here and, you know, how is it that this makes you feel? And, you know, like sometimes it's really like go, go, go for me. Right. You know, and it just needing someone who can be in that with you. So adaptability would be it for me.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like I said before, I could get, you know, I've been in a relationship before where it's like you get the gift, you get the kind words, but it's just like, something about this is falling flat. And it doesn't necessarily have to do anything with what the person is giving you, but more so how they are. Like, I was with someone who was very rigid thinking. Like, if things didn't align with his beliefs, he didn't see any need to explore or be curious about it.
Right.
And I think intellectual stimulation is a love language.
Right.
Someone you could truly bounce off, you know, when you have, when you could truly get into conversation deeply and consider all these different factors.
And conceptualize with them and theorize with them. Where do you think this is coming from? Right. And they're able to have that conversation with you. And it's just like, it's not just, oh, well, I read that on CNN and that's the end of that.
Exactly.
Like, they're able to have like these abstract conversations with you.
That's a love language. For me, that's a love language.
I know you love doing that. Just theory and thinking beyond just what is presented to you.
And I'm wondering too, because now that I think more about, you know, the love language, the ones I would score higher on, so gifts and words of affirmation, I'm like, I'm wondering what that would have been like had I loved myself in those ways instead of depending on somebody else to do that for me. Because I think word of affirmation was my biggest one, because let's travel back into history. My parents, as lovely as they were very much so on the critical side.
Where it's just parents. Like,
glass half empty, glass half empty. Look this way, dress this way, talk this way, hang out with these people, do this class. So it was just, I always saw myself as inadequate. So I guess I relied on, I actually denied. When people would say nice things about me in the past, I would be like, no. Because I wouldn't believe it.
Right. Or you say, oh, yeah, but, like, you look good today. Yeah, but I didn't do my makeup all the way right. Like, you have that criticism that you're adding to someone's comment. Yeah. And it's like, just accept that. But it's like, I don't know how.
Yeah, because the Haitian lives in you.
It's so deep. It's so ingrained.
But literally, had I learned to tell those things to myself and to give myself enough self-compassion to treat myself by giving myself gifts that I felt like truly resonated with me, I think I could have grown that self-love and fallen in love with myself.
A thousand percent.
And not have relied on my partners to do that for me.
To fulfill that need.
Because I became needy.
You think so?
Because it was just like my very first serious relationship. And I remember feeling inadequate to the point of needing so much reassurance that I was okay, that I was enough. And it would have been helpful if he was more on the bandwagon of giving me that. But because he didn't, I always felt, oh, now he's gonna leave, or now he's gonna choose somebody else over me. So it's strange looking back now, knowing I relied on that to the point where I self-sabotaged. So it's just like, it's very interesting, this concept.
Right. I'm trying to think what I've done in past relationships that speak to this topic. I feel like maybe is it my attachment style? I'm like all the way in too soon sometimes. When people haven't even proven to you reasons to be all the way in. You know how I be. I give too much. And I feel like maybe it doesn't speak to one of these, but...
Are you going to tell these listeners about the Skittles? Please tell them about the Skittles. There are stories behind those Skittles.
Right. So Which one do you think that... Is it receiving gifts?
No, it's acts of service.
Acts of service. Okay, yeah. So, okay. So I was with this one individual years ago. And he told me, I think once in passing, that he loves Skittles, specifically, like, specific colors. So me being me, I went out of my way to buy him Skittles, which, when I think about it, we're actually, like, $4, $5 a pack. You know what I mean? Every week or every couple of days, I'm like, that's a lot of money. But anyway... So I would get him Skittles, and I would separate the ones that he likes and put them in a separate bag to give to him. But I don't think that was received with the amount of effort that I was putting in it. You know what I mean?
Right. To take your time to open the Skittles bag and organize the colors.
Yeah.
Because you knew that was his favorite. Wow.
Yeah, and it was dedicated. Like yellow and red or something. I was doing all, and I would eat the rest. So I would only present to him the finer Skittles, like the ones that he actually likes. You know what I mean?
So going. Weak. I was just about to ask you what you did with the rest.
But I ate them.
Yeah, thank God. I thought you were going to say you threw them away or something.
No, but it was like, it was necessary for that image of romance and love that I had to shatter a little bit. Because you know me back then, I was hopeless romantic all the way. Like, I idealized love. So I had a saving account for this person. Because he liked boats. So I was like, as a gift, in 5 years, I'm going to get him a boat.
Wow.
But I was,
you were all in.
But that's the thing. It had to shatter that glass to be in a place where it's like, I can't be doing that for people when I'm not doing that for myself.
Right. Right.
But imagine having $5,000 on the side for someone who they don't even think about you that deep. You know what I mean?
Right. And they don't consider you to the same extent that you consider them. And it's so... I think that's what I've learned on this journey of life. Just, it's as important to think about you as you think about other people.
Yeah.
Because if you're spending 110% on other people all day, all the time, what you got left for yourself?
Nothing.
Zero. Nothing at all. And we see so many people in that position. And it reinforces over and over and over and over again the importance of, like, self-love, self-compassion, and all that. But in order to... I was asked today by someone, how do I become more confident? Like, do I, like, stand there in the mirror and tell myself things? And I'm like, no, you make decisions that prioritize you, and confidence is a byproduct.
You don't... It's not gonna happen overnight.
It isn't. I told them confidence is a choice by choice.
Right.
It's not something you can create. It's choosing to take care of yourself. It's choosing to set that boundary. Right. It's choosing to speak up or advocate for yourself when you need to. It's choosing to be vulnerable and sharing your uncomfortable emotions. That's where confidence comes from. You can't create confidence and out then do the air. Same thing.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't work.
That doesn't work. Have you ever been, back to the love languages though, have you ever been in a relationship where your love languages mismatch your partner's?
But currently. Currently, so I feel like acts of service is still, like, my love language. Like, from the past, from now, it's what I mess with because time, right? And if you could get someone to do a small thing for you, it's something that you don't have to do, right?
Right.
So I'm oozing with acts of service, and my partner is oozing with physical touch and words of affirmation and quality time and receiving gifts. And I'm like, let's pipe down. Let's pipe down on the physical touch or the words of affirmation. And the other day I actually got in trouble because we were hanging out, and you know how, like, Steve be on me? You know how he is. He's very, like, he wants to hug you. He wants to be lovely. Yeah, he wants to be up in your space. And I'm like, I took my laptop and I put it on him while he's on me to finish a task. And he's like, you're not paying attention to me right now. And I'm like, sir, these session notes still have to be
written.
These bills still gotta be paid.
And that's the thing where it's like, in the past when we used to romanticize romance right. so much, we would prioritize all these lovey-dovey things, but now we're business owners, bro. Like, we need to get shit done. Every day. Every single day, we got a big list, and the list grows, and we gotta call people, get back to...
Follow up, follow through, follow back.
Yo!
So there's a lack of time.
Yo, and that's the same issue I had with my own partner. I'm doing a whole PhD program. Right. I have a business. I have a full-time job, too. Right. And they were upset that when I would come over at night, that I wouldn't want to cuddle them. And then
I do not have the time.
But they don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. They're like, I asked for so little. And then I'm like, I looked at them and I was like, but at the end of the day, I have so little. Mm-hmm. So is it fair to see me in my state
right.
and ask me to meet that need? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like it wasn't happening at other times.
Right. It's just but, right now, right here, I cannot.
And it's almost like when you say you can't, they failed to remember the times that you have.
My thing is, listen, sometimes I text good morning, and then next time I check in, it's 4:30. Or next time I check in, it's 7 p.m.
It is what it is.
But I had that thing with one of my family members. They sent me a link to something at 6 a.m. I responded at 7 p.m. And they were like, lol, 15 hours later. And I'm like, this is, you know, this is what it is.
And
I'm not saying I'm not here. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm not here. If I have time, I'll call. If I have time, we'll Skype or whatever. But it's like...
My issue, though, is that I don't think they truly ever understand how hard it is your work.
No.
And it's just like, for people who don't see the grind, they think you're just chilling. Because they see you chilling at the end of the day, they thought you were chilling the whole day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, honey, you didn't see the blood, sweat, and tears. You didn't see that 5 minutes I scheduled to cry. Like, you didn't see all that. Bro,
you didn't see any of that. You didn't see the meetings. You didn't see me this morning on the phone. This morning. Like, 3 hours ago on the phone with RBC for an hour and 30 minutes. For why? You know what I mean?
Why?
You didn't see that. You didn't see that I had to call them yesterday as well. You didn't see that we have a meeting with our accountant. You know what I mean? You don't.
Right.
You just see me leaving at 7 a.m. and you see me coming back at 8 p.m. And I think another thing too is like the respect of time. Like if I'm coming back at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., I don't want to talk about, can you help me with this? When it's something that someone else could
have done.
Yeah.
The whole day.
The whole day. Listen, and I feel like love languages don't only apply to, like, romantic partners. They apply to family members and friendships as well. Like, sometimes I need you to show up in this way for me, please. But I don't have it. I don't have the time. I make time. But right. I don't have, like, time readily available. Just right. oozing out. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And another love language I would say is... For me, initiative. Why you gotta wait till I tell you to do something to do it?
Or why do I have to be the one?
To help you or guide you or support you to even start to do that thing.
But sometimes it's like, I don't even know that thing as well.
And then I have to learn that thing in order to support you in learning that thing. Oh, this is too much.
I thought you were gonna say, he's lying. From divorce court.
Man, but it's just like, that's a huge thing I value. Just nowadays, especially with social media and video games and all that stuff, a lot of adults are like children.
I feel like
and the amount of
they've been that
people
way.
I've heard who say, okay, who say, like, my partner spends all day playing video games. Mm-hmm. Time is of the essence.
Right.
How are you spending 5-6 hours with a whole ass wife?
5-6 hours? It's more than that.
Sometimes it's more than that. But to me, it's just like your responsibilities go out the window, and then oftentimes what happens is that the other partner feels bad for being angry. And it's just like, you have every right to be angry.
Right.
Why do they need to play something for 5-6 hours?
Maybe sometimes they're trying to numb something, or maybe they themselves are unhappy. But I think something is to be said when people say that they're busy.
Right.
Because that half of the time they're not really busy.
Right.
True. They're just saying that.
True.
Busy watching a show, example.
Exactly.
That is disposable time. And remember when we used to be an undergrad? Time is time. Used to be on the bus trying to study. Listen, laptop out.
I studied on that OC.
Listen, because I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here for an hour.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
You make time for sure.
Wait, we went from love languages to why we ain't got time. But love languages
are... But I think it ties into, like, our love language.
True.
Current state.
I just think this framework is not all of it.
No, there's more to it.
There's a lot more to it. But it gives a lot of information in terms of how people can advocate for things. But I just know a lot of people, when they do find out their love language, they're like, okay, now what? You know what I mean? What do I do next with that information?
I feel like that's... actually, that's something that simply comes up with me and some clients, that it's like, we have this information, now what? And I'm like, we process it, we understand it. And you're like, solution. And I'm like, let's... we're trying to deconstruct something that's been there for decades. Can we acknowledge it? Can we try to understand it? Can we try to process it? Where's this coming from? You know what I mean? Like, jumping to solutions. And it's like, if we talk about the solution right now... You're not ready to implement that yet.
But I had this client, or this I have these clients where, you know, one of them wants to jump in. I want to solve your problem to his partner. Then I looked at him and I was like, hands off. Just listen.
Right.
And even presence in that moment was a love language for her.
Presence.
Because she had never gotten that before.
Presence, yeah.
So something as simple as that, you don't always got to be doing something. And I think quality time is an important one, but sometimes people misuse quality time. Where it's like, let's sit here and do... Sometimes mutuality is very important, but is your partner okay with you just sitting there and being on your device? Or do they actually want you to look at them?
And I think there's a difference between quality time versus quantity time. Like, it's not because we're spending all day together that means it was quality time.
Right.
You know?
Okay, that's a whole other... I'm snapping my fingers.
That's another... Yeah.
That's a whole other thing. But that's our perspective on love languages. It's a great framework. But of course, it could be... Other elements are added to it. Yeah, so with that, we're going to leave you. With the reflection question. Beyond the 5 love languages that are presented, what is one love language that you have that isn't represented in the framework? Is it receiving memes? I mean, what is it? What makes you feel wanted and loved and connected to?
Right.
So, with that, we leave you with...